Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity to fellowship together in your presence. And Father, we just ask a special blessing this evening on everybody here, that you would come and you would reveal your heart to them in just exactly the way that they need it revealed to them in this time. And Father, we just thank you for every seed of revelation that goes forth. And we just praise you that as we enter into that time of fellowship with you with each day, that these seeds will be expanded and watered in this time, for it is a critical time and we need to be totally prepared and partake of the fullness of all that you've ordered for us in this time. So we just give you all praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to continue on talking about the refining process. And we began with talking about the love of the Father last evening. And this morning we talked a lot about the people of Israel and the refining process that they went through. And of course, how it ties in with us today. And basically saying that God is refining us so that we would come into an absolute trust in Him, that we might come into an absolute obedience in all things. And so as we continue on, we're going to see some things. And I talked about the reality of true faith. It's been diluted and distorted to the point where many, many children of God are exercising an impure faith or a natural faith that comes from assurance in their own ability and their own sufficiency. And of course, we have none of that, spiritually speaking, rather than an absolute faith and trust in God. And again, just to repeat, this is a very important thing. Faith, love, and obedience cannot be separated. They are a kingdom cycle. Faith works by love, and love manifests in obedience. And obedience, again, is two parts. It's a revelation of God's will and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in the fulfillment of that will from A to Z. Very, very important, because if we don't have a revelation of God's will, we can't exercise faith. We have to have something to affix our faith to, because if we don't have faith in God, we're going to have faith in ourselves, even if we call what we're doing service to God. So that day has come now where God is going to lead those who truly are seeking Him into that place of an absolute and abiding faith. That's extremely important. The day has come when all those who truly call themselves Christians they need to know what true faith is. And because that is the catalyst, of course, to us coming into the fullness of what God has for us. And I'm going to read Hebrews 4:12 in the Amplified. And it says, "For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, or the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow, that is, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart." And that really does paint a clear picture of the refining process that God is bringing us through. And, you know, we've talked about the importance of being in the inner chamber, coming into the presence of God, the secret place of His presence, and also, of course, giving the Word preeminence in our lives so the Word can do the work that the Holy Spirit can do the work through that Word, and absolutely dividing and clarifying things. We should not be a people who are walking in a place less than perfect clarity. There's no reason for that. So as God is doing His work in us and we allow the Word to do His work in us, we are going to come to that place where, again, Jesus could say without flinching in John 15:7, if you abide in My words and My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish or desire and it shall be done for you. And you see, in that place of abiding, we can, as we speak out of the abundance that's in our heart, we can speak in power, we can pray in power, and of course, again, have that clarity of knowing what we're supposed to be doing and that we're in agreement with God. I mean, when it comes right down to it, the Father desires each one of His children to be refined to the degree that we see and we act and we think just the way He sees and acts and thinks, and to see all things through His eyes. Many children of God have been lured away by the devil from proper feeding of God's Word. And thus, this creates a great frustration, you know, in one service to God, because they may desire to serve Him with their whole heart. But if they don't spend the time in the inner chamber, in the presence of God, giving the Word preeminence in all things, then there will remain, to a degree, a desire to be independent of God. And it's and when you're in that place, and yet you attempt to serve God, then you're going to come up with, well, in the worst case scenario, false doctrine, but mostly just attempting to do things for the Lord, but not in accordance with His will. And of course, that obviously is not a good thing in the sight of God, but it also obviously causes us to lack the power needed to set the captives free. And of course, we've talked about that at length, and we're going to talk about it more as the week progresses. But God desires a glorious church, one that is filled with His power, one that does not limit Him in what He wants to do day in and day out. That is very important. And it's only the living Word of God that can show us those sometimes hidden seeds. We talked a bit about that this morning, that when we are faithful to go before God each day, He is faithful to show us and shine light in the places that we need. But if people don't do that, then they're, and many reasons, this is one of the reasons why the devil's able to lure people away, then that little seed remains in there and the devil has an open door. And it's a very subtle thing, but nonetheless, fear will remain and there will be some degree of control there. And of course, it can be blatant and just almost total control. But the fact is, if we're faithful to do that and allow the Word of God to do the work, then I'm saying this, all these things, to say to you and to paint the image that the true Christian life, and again, that's what that series is entitled that God gave me for this, that's the true Christian life and the plan of God. These are all just simply things that will cause us to live the way we're supposed to be living, the way the Bible says we're to live, and of course, again, what God commands, He empowers. It's time for all believers at this time, regardless of how far removed they feel from their calling, to listen to the voice of the Lord, gain the instruction they need as far as what He would have them do concerning the inner chamber, concerning the Word, and just simply any adjustment that needs to be made in our lives that will allow us to experience the fullness of that refining process. And I told you earlier that since the beginning of the year, he told me, he said that now the refining process has moved into the polishing stage. Now there's a lot in that, because the polishing stage is good. It is good. The polishing stage is something that will shine up the vessel, and then that allow the clear image of Christ to be put forth. And so God is doing that fine tuning in all of us, and in so doing, preparing us perfectly for a day that's about to come that has been like no other that the church age has ever seen. And that's the day of the glorious church. You know, a group of believers that God can do what God wants to do through them. Again, we need to have the fact established in our hearts that it's the Father's desire that through this refining and testing that He's just simply bringing us into a place where we come to Him voluntarily of our own free will, that we're walking and doing all things because we love Him. And I'm telling you, if we're loving God properly, if we're obeying God in all things, we are going to have an impact on the people who cross our path. And then this scripture in Job, which is just excellent, Job 23, verses 10 through 12. When He has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held fast to His path. Now that's, you see, it's the people who have stayed on the path, they've held fast the vision and exercised the faith and patience necessary to inherit the promises. And it says, I have kept His way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the command of His lips. I have treasured the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. And all of this talks about keeping our priorities spiritual and in obedience to God and in God's instruction. And then, of course, giving Him that preeminence, we come forth as gold. Those are the prerequisites of that. Again, we have to realize with each passing day that this process of refining we've been going through, some for many, many years, is for our greatest eternal benefit, and also in our remaining time for the greatest eternal benefit of all those who cross our path. In other words, to impact the lives that God puts in the sphere of our existence to the greatest degree. Regardless of what that means or however that pans out, we can know in our heart that if we're walking in obedience to God, that we are impacting people. Sometimes people will move away from you in the initial thing. But whatever seed that God gives us to plant, It will bear eternal fruit when it's that pure seed of love that is the product of one that has come forth as gold. Now, it's interesting that every time the Amplified Bible, you see the word faith, it always defines it this way. It says faith, which is that leaning of the whole human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. That really sums it up quite nicely, actually, as far as what we've been talking about. And again, giving God preeminence in our life, and again, the inner chamber is the hub to every aspect of our life. Just to share this again, the fact is that it's so important for every believer to understand that God created man for fellowship. And again, the fact that he did that, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so everything that's happened, the fall, the Old Covenant, the Old Testament being established, was predicated on, in the Old Testament, man obeying God because in the instructions he gave through his prophets and so on. But now, for us to come into that place of obedience, but that based on fellowship with him now. And the pattern is so clear in the Word of God, and it's so important for people to realize that. And again, I've said this before, but many, many problems would be instantly solved if people just stopped and went into the presence of God and said, okay, this is the situation, and begin to develop the relationship, begin to trust God with all their heart, and they would become free in a very quick time, especially in this hour. I can tell you that this is an hour of divine restoration. And of course, I'm talking to people who have been in the refining process. God has great plans for each and every one who have set themselves apart. And in a sense, you're forerunners because you're going forth to prepare a way, first of all. You're being prepared, again, for something that doesn't completely exist in the natural at this time at all, really, very much, I should say. And it's an extremely important thing because I'm telling you there's going to be a domino effect for the people of God who are faithful are going to impart what God has shared with them. And it's not going to take people long to get it in this hour, and they're going to impart, and they're going to impart, and they're going to impart. And when you begin to look at that exponential increase in the power and love of God being released, you can see that it will be not only a powerful work, but a relatively quick work, considering we've been at this for 2,000 years as a church. It's time. It is time. That is the heart cry of the Father right now. It is time. He said it was my time in that word that he gave me. It's my time. And then I'm going to define that suffering. I said God gave me a definition of suffering. And you know, a lot of people attribute suffering in a very negative way, such as illness and all those different things. But it's very important that every Christian have a revelation that our suffering is for righteousness' sake. All right, so this is the definition he gave me. The suffering we are called to in this earth is to stand in faith continually against all the things which we have been redeemed from. It is in no way associated with physical sickness or any other manifestation of the law of sin and death, but rather it is to continually release faith in the Word of God, regardless of the pressure of the circumstances that surround us. As our minds become transformed and renewed to the Word of God, suffering will become what it was intended to be, the joyful opportunity to further establish the kingdom of God in the earth, rather than the sorrowful, painful concept religion has made it to be through unbelief. And two scriptures that confirm that talks about, and I will talk about this a little later, about reproach, but when we're reproached or reviled for the sake of Christ, it says that the Spirit of glory rests upon us. And Jesus also talked through Peter about the crown of unfading glory coming upon those, and it really was the sum of what he'd been saying before about suffering. And so, you know, here we are coming into a revelation of the fact that God desires a glorious church. And we know that even those who just desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But the stigma needs to be removed from this whole thing of suffering. We are called to be a people of faith. And really, the greatest part of our suffering is just simply that resistance against that current of the world, which operates totally on what they can see, hear, feel, or think. And, you know, that's why it's so important to have the Word of God in our heart, because it's something that, you know, we can affix our faith to, clearly. And also, as we affix our faith to it, then that Word is doing its deepest work in us. Now, in Romans 5, 3-5, again, in the Amplified Translation, really another reference to the call to rejoice in our sufferings. And you know, that doesn't that really go cross-grain to our thinking, especially when we started serving the Lord? You know, Paul said, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Again, he says here, moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Let us exalt and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings. Knowing, or in other words, having a revelation of the fact that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patient and unswerving endurance, and endurance or fortitude develops maturity of character. That is approved faith and tried integrity. And this is dealing in the things of God. And character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. And that's not just eternal salvation, that's beginning right now. And the word salvation is talking about that the fullness of our covenant, deliverance from all temporal evil. The thing that Jesus accomplished at the cross was that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. It has redeemed us from the curse. And these are absolutes that we need to understand as Christians. So he's talking about joyful and confident hope. And that would include the knowledge of the fullness of our covenant. Again, in Psalm 25, God said he would make us to know his covenant. Well, the way he's going to do that is as we spend time with him. And he'll make us know what that means to us. And it's a glorious thing. And again, I will say this because it's so important. He told me a number of years ago, he said that in the last of the last hour, my people will come to the realization that it will take walking in the fullness of our covenant through faith and obedience to get the job done personally and to overcome in all things. So it is important. And I went on to explain the fact that one of the reasons is that God holds the precious blood of Jesus as just that, a precious, precious thing. And when Jesus died for us and that blood was shed, that created our whole inheritance. And so consequently, it's not surprising that God ordained it, that it would take faith in the fullness of everything that we have to honor the blood of Jesus and to get the job done, which is a glorious thing. So, but it is important because I can tell you this, and we all know this really, if we have a weak link in our armor, we don't have a revelation of certain parts, the devil will try to come in that part. Because, you know, some people have a revelation in certain aspects of the covenant and other people, or certain other ones, they don't, or they have some mindset that's not right. I mean, it's not in line with the Word of God. And so we need to go before God and just say, Father, just reveal your covenant to me. And he will. And not only the covenant, but what the fullness of walking in each aspect of that means, because it's an amazing covenant. It really, really is. And we need to understand that God is going to manifest these blessings in the lives of his children so that he can pour out those blessings through us to others in this day. And then I made a little note here. I didn't finish the scripture. I better do that. So it talked about the joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. Such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us, for God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Again, that love of God, that knowledge of God, his very presence being poured out through the Holy Spirit. And I made a little note here. I just said the unswerving endurance which is produced in believers is the ability and empowerment in Christ that will enable one to keep their eyes perfectly fixed at all times on the narrow path of perfect obedience. Again, one of the key things in this whole understanding of God's plan in this hour is that he will empower us, and he alone. We cannot go where God is taking us in this hour apart from Christ. Absolutely not. And the people who do not give their hearts wholly to God will not be able to enter in until they do. But they're going to have a good beacon on the hill in order to see that there are people that are walking in a place much farther above than we've seen till this point. And then I have a quote here from A.B. Simpson, and it was a key quote at the time because a lot of people and a lot of doctrines have come forth that really point to the fact or try to establish the fact that holiness is an impossibility for us today. And it's all done in a spirit of false humility, and it looks good and it sounds good to the unknowing ear or heart. But the fact is, God said that he wants us to be perfect as he is perfect. Jesus said that. And again, that perfection being spiritual maturity, being a people who are righteously motivated in all things. In other words, treating people and acting towards people the way that, first towards God, and then turning around and acting towards people the way that God has acted towards us. You know, God has forgiven us, we must forgive people. That's just one example. So this was a good word, and it just kind of pointed out, I'm sure you'll all be able to relate to this. Multitudes are kept from spiritual progress by cast iron systems of doctrine, which have, in their darkened understanding, settled forever the fact that holiness is impossible in this present life, and that no mere man, since the fall, is able to keep the commandments of God, and that would be regularly, but must daily break them in some way, in word or thought or deed. And then a row of human characters is set before us to prove to us the impossibility of sanctification and to show the satisfying and humbling influence of human imperfection. Multitudes have made their minds up in advance that they can never have the fullness of Jesus beyond certain narrow limits. And, of course, they cannot advance beyond their own standards, thinking the fullness of the inheritance unattainable. Now, we quite agree with the statement that no mere man can be holy or blameless, but the Lord Jesus is no mere man. And when he owns and keeps the heart, it is a divine holiness and a divine keeping. And we do assert that what no mere man can do, the living Christ can do and does for those who abide in him. Let us always take the divine measure, no matter what man may think or say. In other words, let us always take what is based in revelation knowledge gained in our place from the Father. You see, and I'm going to talk more about the fivefold ministry later, but another teaching. But the fact is, the fivefold ministry has a particular job, and that is to bring help each one come into the unity of faith, and to come into the fullness of their inheritance in Christ, and consequently, they are there to confirm the seeds that are planted in the those people who are seeking God. They'll come out and they'll say, okay, this is what I believe God has said. This is what I believe God said to me in a word or whatever form he gives it. And then the person can in the ministry can help them to confirm that, or if it's necessary to correct them. But it certainly isn't for the people to stand up and start giving people words and telling them what to do. And it certainly isn't for people to stand up and give false words. See, it's not just the ministry here and some sort of hierarchy. That's a worldly thing. It's basically the fact that the men and women of God who are called to these offices are servants to the people of God so that they might be lifted up into the fullness of their inheritance. And then we just all go on together into this thing. And that's what's happening. That's very, very important for people to realize. There's many things that have to be torn down. And again, we talked earlier about the spirit of idolatry working in many areas of the church. And again, it's an unconscious thing. It's not like people are aware that they're in idolatry. But again, idolatry is defined as anything or anyone that we put above our relationship with God. It's that simple. And so it can be very subtle, it can be very blatant, but it all works together to keep the people of God below the place where God wants them. And that has to end. That was a very key word for me when I was just starting out, because as we talked about earlier today, you know, you look out sometimes and it looks impossible, but God's got a plan. That's the good news.
Can I ask you just that one line? It was when he owns and keeps the heart. What was that one line from the quote?
Okay, let's see. It says, now we quite agree with the statement that no mere man can be holy or blameless, but the Lord Jesus Christ is no mere man, and when he owns and keeps the heart, it is a divine holiness and a divine keeping. And we do assert that what no mere man can do, the living Christ can and does for those who abide in him. It's amazing to think that throughout the years there have been many men and women who have, and we all know some of the names, they've laid down their lives in order to gain the revelation necessary. And I think of Jean Guion other people who absolutely came against the entire system just to put forth what that Luther would be the same way, put forth these key revelations that just kept the flame burning. You know, God has been faithful to keep this revelation going from the early church through. The devil tried to extinguish the word right out of the earth, which he couldn't do that, but he tried. And the fact is, when he couldn't do that, then he tried to pervert the word so that people were believing in something that was not what the word meant, and all these things worked together. And this was, of course, just one of these great doctors, this sin consciousness, this thing that we, instead of a righteousness consciousness and believing that we are the righteousness of God in Christ, just what the word said, it's in Christ. But this is going to come to an end, and many, many captives are going to be set free because of that. And I had such a negative attitude when I began in this whole thing. And so when I began to hear some of the different doctrines, I thought, oh, you know, that must be the way it is. Not for long, because God straightened me out in that quickly. But the fact is, what God commands, He empowers. And He has called us and commanded us to holiness. So that's an important thing to remember. We can take the Word of God literally and allow Him to empower us in it. But anyway, these great men and women of faith in the past, they endured a lot of hardships and were good soldiers of Christ. And again, it was not such a popular thing at the time. And it may not be now. But I will say this, it wasn't in Jesus' time either. I mean, it was a time of darkness there. It was 400 years without a prophet in the land. I mean, at least a vocal prophet that they heard. And the fact is, He just came in and He absolutely spoke the truth and set that thing on course, and of course set the whole thing on course for us as far as the church goes. So God is going to knock down these doctrines that, number one, come against holiness, basically, but number two, we talked about this yesterday, that put the children of God in a place of non-resistance to the devil and his schemes. And well, like I said yesterday, if there is a doctrine that puts in any way the child of God in danger, in a place of non-resistance to Satan's schemes, it is a false doctrine. Simply, that put, that's the way that is, absolutely. So we need to discern these things and realize that what God says is true, not what man says without God. What doctrines?
Yeah, that puts us in a position of non-resistance to the devil's schemes.
Well, for instance, people will say that healing has passed away for us today, that it's no longer available. That allows the devil a completely an open door to that person to strike them. You know, it there's a lot, but that would be a blatant one. And some of them are not as blatant, but they're there, and we need to discern that what we're hearing is in line with the Word of God, and most importantly, the heart of the Father. Jesus is Lord, and He came to redeem us completely. He did not leave anything undone at the cross. We can know that for a fact. So, you know, we need to put ourselves in a position to gain that true knowledge of exactly what our covenant entails so that we can help others to get free. But I'm telling you, God is coming to judge His church. It's going to begin with the church at large. And He will expose all that is apart from Christ in this hour. Absolutely. The devil has taken, in some cases, 2,000 years to establish these false doctrines. It will not take very long to show them for what they are. So getting back to the refining process, one of the things that it produces is perseverance. And that's a key word for us. Or endurance, really, is another way to define that. And in each life, wholly given to God, there's going to come a time when we're brought to a place where we're just simply called to persevere in the knowledge or the revelation that God's given us. And just, I guess to say this as clearly as possible, I really believe in my own experience that led me into a deeper trust in God. And there was, and that ripping away from that dependence of what we see or feel or hear or think, because God is raising up a people who are going to walk above the sense realm. Doesn't mean we don't have senses. It just means it's not our final authority. Our final authority is the Word of God. And when you do that, it is amazing how quickly you shut the devil out of the things he's been trying against you and become aware. Again, we need to be a people who persevere in faith and seek with a whole heart to operate in the absolute principles of faith and the kingdom principles in this hour. I guess basically the best way to say this is, God is just revealing Himself in His absoluteness, and He's revealing the plan that's been in the Word from the beginning and the patterns in the Word from the beginning. And this is the fullness of time where He's concerned. So when we persevere in faith, our lives become based on the rock of revealed knowledge. And it doesn't matter in that case then, even if all of the forces of evil are coming against us, our spontaneous reaction to any and every circumstance will be, what does the Word of God say? And how do I best put it into place or action in this place, in this situation? And you see, these are very simple things I'm speaking of, but as the Christian practices them daily, it just they come into a place where they're hearing God and they're able to stand completely in that place. And believe me, we've all had times where the devil has driven us back or overwhelmed us to a degree. But as we grew and as we learned and as God refined us, you know, through the process, and again, that process coming into a closer relationship with Him, everything just starts to become clear. And those scales are now where it seemed the devil was the big bad one, seemed so big, it's now God is all to us, Christ all in all in our life. And again, it's that perseverance that leads us into that place. And, you know, I've told you time and time again that I can sit here and tell you the benefits of spending time with God and giving the word preeminence. But as the believer does it, they're going to see a miraculous thing in their life in this time. And secondarily, because many people have done that and are beginning to do that even to a more proficient degree, he's preparing us to be a people that will impact everywhere we go, impact every environment, change it from a bad environment to a good environment, whatever way it needs to be changed. So there's a purpose in it. When believers are called on to walk through circumstances that seem impossible to the five physical senses over a longer period of time than usual, the continual exercising of faith in the face of tremendous spiritual pressure will cause any dross within us to surface. In other words, we will get a real clear picture of what, well, let me put it this way. When you're standing in faith for something and something just seems to be overwhelming you a little bit, it may show some area that we need revelation in. We go to God, we get His word in us, and we stay, and we persevere in that. And when that little test, that trial, that refining process is over, we all have a revelation of that word. And then the next time the devil comes, tries to come with the same scheme, we're walking above it. And so when the believer is faithful, it's from glory to glory, faith to faith. That's higher. Faith to faith is higher. Obedience to obedience is higher. Glory to glory is higher. And, you know, we're arising. And when you arise, you're going to shine. As we are refined and purified, our desire to stand on the Word of God will override any former desire to gratify the flesh. Any effort to shed the pressure that comes when we stand against the currents of unbelief that Satan attempts to overwhelm us with. So in this refining process, as we desire to stand on the Word of God through this, it is really taking away that spontaneous reaction that causes us to react in the flesh. And it's not easy at first, and a lot of people, sometimes we just step back a bit and then we go forward a bit. But these things are basically what I'm saying is when the word is filling our heart, it produces spontaneous fruit in our life. It's like the fruit of the Spirit. They just manifest spontaneously as the love of God fills our heart. And it's the same way under pressure, we'll speak that spontaneous word. We may not feel like speaking that word, but it will come out. We may not feel like taking that certain action, but we will do it. And again, the refining process is such that God is conditioning us to walk by His power alone. See, so that's a very key thing. We must always have more faith in the Father's faithfulness and the fact that He is watching over His word to perform it. That's why we need to know His word. And then we need to know that our faithful Father is watching over that word to perform it. And you know, again, when you talk about the Word of God, you're talking about the will of God. So if God has revealed something to you personally, of course, which will be in accordance with His Word, we need to have the faith in His faithfulness that He'll finish that work in us, that He'll unfold His will perfectly in the fullness of the way He intended. And again, that's another reason for us to go through this time of refining. It builds that perseverance, that patience, which allows God to fulfill His will perfectly. In other words, you know, we may see something and we know it's God's will, and then we say, well, okay, that means this. But if we do it that way, not only do we miss the fullness of His purpose, He can't manifest that corporate purpose in that blessing to us. So patience is a key thing for us to have. Faith and patience will inherit the promise. And again, as we come into that place of loving God and knowing God, We desire to see the fullness of His will come to pass. We desire to be the greatest blessing we can be. And again, that just the residue that passes through us will be more than we can contain. Absolutely. Yeah. If we lean upon our own understanding in any way, we will fail in the eternal scheme of things, even though it may appear for a time to be successful. Again, we need to be a people who have eternal perspective. We need to understand the heart of the Father. We need to know all the things we've been talking about, that we're in this earth, we're certainly to be blessed as God's children, to be a blessing. And we're here, again, as people who have one desire and one desire alone. And again, that's when we step out of this place to know and to have Jesus say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, you've accomplished everything that the Father created you for from before the foundation of the earth." Now that's eternal perspective, all right? So yes, there's a gap in between and a thing, a walk to walk out. But when we're keeping that in view, then God will, we'll continually acknowledge God in all our ways, and He will direct our paths in the paths of righteousness. I think that one of the great stumbling blocks has been, and it, because we've been so self-sufficient at times in the church, people have just gotten used to operating that way. But I'm telling you, with where it's going now, we need to be a people who can rise above that self-sufficiency and the world, because the things that people got by on in their own self-sufficiency before, they will not get by on in this hour. That is a given. That is a fact. As the Heavenly Father is burning away the dross in us, in the times of testing, we must come to know, that's in our heart, that we are continually being prepared for greater service. And again, this is an encouragement to people who have a vision, but yet, there's that gap in the thing. God is preparing us perfectly for us to accomplish the fullness of what He intends. And we need to again, exercise that faith and patience, knowing that in the perfect time, the good news is this time is coming upon us now, and God is establishing ministries, and He's releasing people into the fullness of all that He's called them to. And it will be worth the wait. It will have been found to be worth the wait. Again, this whole refining process, when we're put to a test, anything that's in us that's not love or not in faith or whatever, is fear-based, will come to the forefront. And we'll recognize it, and of course we can make that adjustment right away. That's very important. We do not need to fear this refining process and wonder why did I react that way? Well, just say, "Father," I had a prayer all the time. Let me see if I can remember it. It was basically this, that, I would see something I didn't like, and I just say, "Well, Father, forgive me." And I just say, "Father, I just cast the care of this on you, and I don't know why I did that, but, Father, I don't want it. I just cast that care on you, and I'm just asking you to fill that spot with your love and faith and whatever else was needed at the time," and then just walked away. And over a period of a long time, God did that. It just eventually, it came to pass. And just, again, trusting Him, it's His power that will cause us to come through this refining process as gold. And again, it's simply a matter of reverting back to the Word of God anyway. And replacing what we were thinking or doing, the confession of the Word of God. And really the only danger is that for the Christian is we fall apart from that fellowship that God requires of us, and we get into a certain hardness of heart. And of course that opens a few other doors. It kind of opens the door to darkness, and maybe it fuels pride a little, and so on and so forth. But again, what we've been talking about here this week is drawing close to God, and really it's just simply coming into the light. And when you come into the light, whatever needs to be exposed will be exposed. And if a heart's wholly given to God, we don't mind coming into the light, because we know that that's the answer to all things. And again, we don't want to allow the evil one into our lives and allow him to hinder us and allow that great spiritual darkness that's encompassing the world even now to come in to any degree. So, all these things work together for our good, and the fact is that we know, again, that God is doing His greatest work in us, and it's always for our greatest good. And again, coming to know the Father as a loving Father, we come to know that, like any earthly father who is a loving father is not going to do harm to his children. Well, neither is our God. So it's very important to do that. And, again, in Malachi 3, 18, 4 to 1, it really paints a picture of this hour, actually, and what's happening. And the reason why we've gone through this refining process is it's so we might be holy vessels of God's person, His character, His presence. Well, what does His presence consist of? Well, the Bible says in one scripture that our God is a consuming fire. And I'll share more on this later in another teaching, but the fact is that God is calling his people to be holy vessels. And in this last hour, there is going to be a fire released, a holy fire, which fire can have many effects. Fire can warm you when you're cold and bless you. Fire can consume you in an instant if you're standing too close to it. This is what I'm talking about, the impact of God's presence coming out. And he said to me at one point, he said that the chief characteristic of my people, both individually and corporately in this last hour, will be holy fire. And so, you know, we are going to be a light to the world in that area. And many people are going to be set free because of this. They're either going to be set free or they're going to run. So he goes on to say, what was that? Yeah, the father spoke to me and he said that the chief characteristic of my church, both individually and corporately, will be holy fire in this last hour. In other words, will be consumed with his presence. That's basically what he's saying in that. And he says it right here. And that leads to this first scripture. And because of that, okay, because we're holy vessels of fire, it says, so you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. For behold, the day is coming. Now, this is the prophet Malachi prophesying over Israel, which is a type and symbol of the church at large. He says, behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff. And the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. In other words, God is going to make, like Paul wrote, all things will become evident in this hour, regardless of what their root is. And it will leave them neither root nor branch. Everything will be exposed for what it is. The righteous will receive great blessing and reward, even in this age, before we leave here. And all of the things that are apart from Christ will be judged and exposed for exactly what they are. And if anybody is out there in error or they're in a wrong place, that should be a good news to them, because they'll have an opportunity to repent, come into the fullness of their kingdom position in this hour, and go on. Others will run further into rebellion. I cannot explain that. I do not know why, in seeing the perfect fruit and rotten fruit, they continue to choose the rotten fruit. But nonetheless, no man goes any place but where they choose. It won't be the devil's doing. It will be a choice that people make in their heart, and only God knows the heart. And then in 1 Peter 2:9, it says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him, again, the importance of knowing the character of God, knowing the character of Christ, you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And again, that's that abiding light and coming out of the world in its darkness. And I'll close this section, but I'm going to talk to you a bit about reproach and vindication also. Now is the time for all true believers to separate themselves unto the Father on his terms in the inner chamber. And just to clarify that, when we talk about his terms, it just simply means that he will show us what he requires. Not everybody has 16 hours a day to spend with the Lord. But when they spend the time early and give him the first fruits of the day, it might only be 20 minutes for some people. It doesn't matter. When you do whatever God calls you to do, there is an empowerment that comes that will empower you the rest of the day. You will receive what you need in that time. And that is a fact. And I cannot even explain the things that have happened to me with that. But as people do that, they will be in a place spiritually that's much higher above just going out into the day and then trying to get in touch with God out there. Because he goes out with you when you give him the first fruits of that day. Instead of us getting into a bind and then we have to, oh Lord, you know, that's fine to do that. But how much better is it to go out in that place of power? And in this last day, we talked a lot about the ministry of the church at large, the multitudes within the church that will be going into the grocery store and thinking they're just going to buy something, and then God will have a word for the person standing beside them or whatever else that may be. Somebody may faint right there and God will raise them up through you. I mean, so we'll be ready is my point. And it's going to be supernatural because it's going to be the gifts of the Spirit just operating and manifesting fully through each individual believer as the Spirit wills in any given situation. So basically, we have to come into that place in his terms, and that is where the essence and of the refining process takes place. And a lot of times, you know, we go through a lot of through the years, the times where I experienced the hardest part of the refining process was when I actually wasn't in the inner chamber on a regular basis, and so God had to teach me through other things. And I'll say this again, it's better to learn obedience and be refined in His presence than it is to learn through disobedience and not being in His presence. It can be a little more of a rough ride the other way. So it's important. And of course, now the hour is late, and we need to be in that place. You know, Jesus said that those who weren't for Him were against Him. That's another absolute principle. So there's a lot of people who claim they're doing things for Jesus, but really they're against Him. And that's exactly why people are used to discourage those who are truly seeking God. Many different people have been told to step out and do this or that, but if people aren't wholly given to God's will in their own life, then they will be used as a vessel of discouragement for other people who've received a revelation or an instruction from God. And that just leads perfectly into what I'm going to talk about now, because that's really reproach. And that was in Matthew 12:30, that scripture. So again, our call then is that, or our prayer is that every child of God put aside the desire to live for themselves and live wholly for God. I mean, that's just what it comes down to. And now I just want to begin on this whole thing with reproach, because this is important. Absolutely. All right, we know we're called to suffer persecution. We will suffer persecution. And a form of that persecution is reproach. That is people saying things. Well, I'll get down I'll do that right now. To reproach literally means to charge with or blame for something, ungodly rebuke, the expression of disapproval, adverse or hostile criticism, or unrighteous judgment. Now that's reproach. That takes on many, many forms. So that can happen. So that's the definition of reproach. Now I just want to first and foremost do the definition of vindicate. And of course, our God is our vindication. To clear of accusation, censure, suspicion, etc., to support or maintain, to justify. And that's why we need to do that. We cannot take offense at reproach. But reproach is an ugly thing, and it's not so easy to deal with sometimes. I'm going to talk a bit more about that. But just to deal with this, in Matthew 11:12, the scripture says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. I never really understood that scripture. I never really understood that scripture at all, because growing up, you know, you get a definition of violence that is basically somebody killing someone or physical violence, you know, in that sense. But I looked up the word. Now, this is really good. I mean, again, this is why you need to have a dictionary and check a word, because we can take on meanings to words. And they're right, but they're only partial. Because obviously, we're not going to go around killing people, taking the kingdom or establishing the kingdom. All right. So it says, basically, violent, proceeding forth from or marked by great force. All right. Now, keep that in mind. The exhibiting of a fierce and intense passion, okay, characterized by intensity of any kind. Okay, now, that puts on a different meaning to the word violent for us spiritually, because it says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, because this is a good revelation to get. All right, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. It means that those who are truly seeking first the kingdom and to be righteously motivated in all things are going to have great soulish force exerted against them, all right? And that is the devil, of course. I mean, reproach is great soulish force, okay? And all the different things. Now, but it then says, and violent men take it by force. But the fact is, we need to be a people who exercise a violence in our establishment of the kingdom. Now, that violence is not soulish force. That violence is the same meaning, now getting back, proceeding from or marked by great force, spiritual forces. Now, when you talk about spiritual forces, what are the spiritual forces? Righteousness, peace, obedience, joy, love, all the wisdom, all the forces of the kingdom. And so, as we proceed forth with this fervor for God and the carrying out of His will and the exhibiting of a fierce and intense passion towards that, or an intensity, a spiritual intensity, we're going to release these forces out into the world and counteract the devil's doing. Now, we're just touching on that for now. In Proverbs 13:2b, it says the desire of the treacherous is violence, or to force, that literally means. So when people are treacherous, they just really simply are exerting their own, to get their own way, and they push violently with soulish force to get it. All right, so you're starting to get a picture of this violent thing, because we're talking in spiritual terms now, and in situations we could get into, and that's why pride, if it doesn't get its own way, it will get ugly until it does get its own way and exercise these forces, negative forces, soulish forces. But, and one of them, of course, is to establish fear. Fear is a force. Fear is not just a feeling, and it's a force, and it's geared to get a disheartenment. It's a force. I mean, all these types of things, and it's to get us to change our mind and to depart from the will of God. But the good news is that we will push back violently, not in a spirit of self-justification, but in the force of righteousness. Jesus, one of the most powerful displays of the force of righteousness was when Jesus remained silent when he stood before Pilate. At the time when he remained silent, was one of the greatest releases of force of righteousness. It opened Pilate's eyes. Pilate actually knew, to the degree he knew at that time, that the truth was standing right in front of him. I mean, basically that's what it came down to, and changed his mind and did not want to crucify that man in front of him. But then he bowed through fear to the various pressures of the people who were screaming out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Psalm 119, 134 says, "Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep thy precepts." Now that's an interesting word, because that word comes from the same word that we use when we talk about a pharmaceutical prescription or a medical prescription. And it literally means, when we talk about that I may keep thy precepts, or that which you have prescribed for me. So what we're talking about then is like a medical doctor writes a prescription and everybody goes and says, "Oh yeah, I got to get that because that's going to, you know, help me a lot," right? But what he's saying here in this scripture, the psalmist is, he says, "Redeem me from the oppression of man," or "redeem me from reproach, which is a big thing, "that I may keep thy precepts," which is that which God has prescribed for us. And the fact is, if we as Christians are seeking the will of God first and foremost, then we're going to seek that which God has prescribed for us and then act on it. Like I said, people get a prescription. What do? They go straight to the pharmacist to get it filled. Well, you know, we get a revelation of God's will, and then we just seek to carry out whatever is necessary to see that come to pass. And this is good. It's very, very important, this vision God gave me, because I found myself in a place a few years ago now, but not that many years ago, where actually I told you that I went through a period of time where a lot of these different connections were kind of falling away and kind of plateauing and saying, well, I think God wants me to go this way, but he didn't really want them to. And consequently, because they went a different way, and this is a principle we touched on it briefly before, if somebody all of a sudden decides, a friend or whatever, decides that they've got a new revelation from God, but it's not really from God, they're going to have to justify in their own thinking that they're right. They're going to have to come against you and prove that you're wrong. That's just the way the flesh works. And the fact is, this happened a number of times, and really I didn't realize at the time, but I was taking on the reproach, and I wasn't releasing the reproach. And so at one point, and of course that was helping the spirit of disheartenment just to really bring me down to a very low point. It was very hard to walk in faith at that point. I did, by the grace of God, but it was very, very hard, and didn't with everything. So one day God gave me a vision of this boat. It was like a regular boat, a 16-foot boat with a small motor on it. And or it could be a rowboat, it could be any boat. But I don't know if anybody or if any of you have seen this, but if you overload a boat, okay, so you've got the boat and there's the water and there's the top, and sometimes only that much of the boat will be showing. Well, you know that's a dangerous position. You might be fine in calm water, but if you get anything that looks like rough water, that thing is going to sink. I mean, that's just the way it is. Well, that's the way God showed me the boat that was like that. And I saw myself about that much out of the water, and I couldn't figure it out. But then I saw all these different packages that were loaded on this boat, I mean, just stacked. And those packages represented these different words of reproach that had come against me. Now, this doesn't just apply to me. This applies to anything that's been said to us in our life that we haven't released properly or fully. And so consequently, we can become overloaded. And of course, that's a very dangerous position spiritually, because if the devil can come forth with a little stronger wave, it could put us down in a bad position, even to the departing from that will of God that we were standing for. So anyway, I realized that. I didn't even realize I was taking on this approach. And so I just, in the spirit, I just went and I started to unload the boat. And then the boat just came back up to where it would be. And then I was really alert to the fact that we need to bring every thought captive. And when people come at you and as vessels of persecution, first of all, don't receive it. I mean, you have to go to God. But of course, the spirit of reproach is a different spirit. It's an ugly spirit. I mean, people aren't, they might smile at you and be nice to your face, but the intent is to get you either to come into agreement with you, them rather, or put you down in some way. And it's not a good thing. People striving in the church like that, it's not a good thing. But there, this type of thing will come against those who desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus. So we need to be alert to that. So it was quite a revelation to me. I really didn't realize I was doing that. And then I started to wonder, well, just hold it now. Have I gotten rid of some of the reproach that came in from other things? And sure enough, I hadn't. So to make a long story short, I began to go back and go through things and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal this thing. And I just took the package and right out of the boat. I mean, gone. Until we're just riding along on top of the water like a hovercraft. It's where we should be, as opposed to being that far above it. So it's a very important thing. And of course, this is what allows us to walk in love, to bless those who persecute us. If we don't make the conscious decision to forgive and realize that we, first of all, there's always two things that come into play. When something happens, when the devil does anything through another person, you need to go and first of all, you know the devil is just trying to do some harm to you. So you don't have to sit there and get a lot of discernment on that initially. You just bind him and you just put that aside just for the moment. But you bind him and you come against him in that degree. Then you go to God and you find out what the ground was in the person that allowed them to be used by the devil. That allows you to pray for them, all right? Because, I mean, I can tell you a story and I will. When I was first starting out in this and I was still working at my last secular job, it was this man came one morning and he just started to say things to me. I mean, I didn't do anything. I didn't even know what was going on. And I forget what it was about now, but I think he accused me of doing something I didn't do. And I didn't know what was going on there. And so I didn't do anything. And then he just walked away. So I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, what was that all about? And that's when he gave me this revelation. He said, anytime something like that happens, you come to me and I'll reveal what caused or what the ground in that person was. It turns out that he had a fight with his wife that morning and he just came in totally upset and he was just going to rail on anybody for any reason. And I thought, okay, that's good. So I forgive him for that. And then I went to bound Satan and then I was able to pray effectively for him. And God will reveal many things. And so now the devil's got a problem running these people across your path because he now knows that every time he does that, these people are going to get prayed for and they're going to get blessed.
And set free.
Yeah, yeah. So, but again, you have to have made the hard decision to walk in love, because if not, he'll keep sending people to press any button he can find, absolutely, until we get that. But always seek a revelation. You may have to grit your teeth for a while. I'm not saying it's pleasant. It's not pleasant. Reproach is not pleasant. Especially, obviously, when you're walking in the center of God's will, we have to guard against falling into a place of self-righteousness because we know we're in God's will and self-justification. We know we're in God's will, and we want to say, well, don't you know I'm in God's will? No, God is our vindication. That's what we're talking about, coming down to. And God will clear us of any accusation, censure, suspicion, and he will justify us. And I'm telling you, when God vindicates you, you are vindicated. There is no doubt about that. Now, I didn't say that was going to happen in a day either. Before you clap too much. Sometimes you do. But I'm telling you, in this age, God is going to vindicate those who've been faithful. Not only is he going to bless every ounce of faith and obedience that has been, and love that has been exercised, he knows exactly what we've all gone through. Absolutely. And he knows to the exact second what we've gone through all these years. And he is going to vindicate his people. And that is going to be a good thing because it's going to give us a platform to really help people to a great degree. And one of the scriptures, Isaiah 34:8, It says, for the Lord has a day of vengeance, or vindication, is that word in Hebrew, a year of recompense for the cause of Zion. Now again, I want you to start beginning to get that revelation of Zion as the glorious church, as the spotless and unblemished church that Paul talks about in Ephesians 5. Because that's, we're going to see that, and I'm still getting to this. This thing's building, but we're going to deal with some scriptures from Zion, and you're going to see a picture, literally see a picture of the Father's plan painted for the church in this last hour through not only the scriptures dealing with Zion, but also, of course, all the scriptures in the New Testament through Paul and Jesus and so forth. So he has a year. Well, I declare this is the year. I did from the beginning of the year. And God is going to vindicate his people this year. I really believe that. And it will continue on. And when this vindication begins to come forth, it is going to be done in such a way that people's heads will be turned. And in the positive side, those people who have been used by Satan will have a real serious wake-up call. And they'll have an opportunity to repent and get right. And I think of the story of Joseph and his brothers. Joseph waited a long time, and we know the story. But he was vindicated completely. In the sight of his brothers. And of course, it says many other things concerning forgiveness. But if Joseph hadn't forgiven, then that never would have happened. And then in Isaiah 35, 4b, it says, behold, your God will come with vengeance. And that word again is vindication. The recompense of God will come. And, you know, these are the promises. And we've all had to learn this because sometimes we just want to, well, don't you know I was doing the right thing here and all this stuff? But it's very important, and sometimes that means silence. Sometimes God will give us words to speak, but if he does, they need to be his words that we speak. And if necessary, we need to separate ourselves until we can speak those words of love. Sometimes you can't do that right away. Silence is golden, definitely, in that situation. And then it says in verse 6 of the same chapter, for waters will break forth in the wilderness. And verse 10, they will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. And that's all to deal with this year of vindication or this time of vindication. And so God's promise is there. And I've walked in this, and I wouldn't do it any other way now, because the fact is that there's many reasons. Not only is this vindication just to get, well, just to kind of go forth on our behalf, but it's also to establish a great work and blow apart the situation the devil was trying to use. And I really, all the things I've said so far today, it just seems to me that it becomes clear that when we simply walk in love and obedience, and God is allowed to do so much more than if we just kind of don't. I mean, if we allow him to take that vindication on our behalf, then we will clearly see that his way is the best time and time again. And that vindication of God is important for those people who have been walking in a wrong place. And here's a word that he gave me. And this really does apply for right now. He's talking to those who've been faithful, because I can tell you anybody who's been faithful to seek him has suffered for righteousness' sake. They have suffered much reproach. But again, that's part of this refining process we're talking about. And believe me, reproach is the one thing that clearly will lead you to seek a deeper trust in God. Either that or to defend yourself, but we know that's not love, and it's obviously not the way to go. But this is a word, and actually I'll close with this word right now. You have suffered much reproach for righteousness' sake, my beloved ones. But truly I say to you, the tide has now turned, and I shall bless you superabundantly with all that I have spoken to you. That means the words that he's spoken to us concerning the fullness of our destiny. And all who cross your path shall surely see that you are mine, and that my hand is mightily upon you. Hold fast in a pure and absolute faith, or love, for this very day you shall see my prosperity abounding towards you. And I'll just define that prosperity. It's finances, but it's also, if you define divine prosperity, it is the ability of the child of God to meet every need that crosses their path. It may be a word for somebody. It may be laying on hands and healing for somebody. It may be finances, but it will be that divine prosperity. And so this word really sums up the fullness of the refining process and the standing in love when we didn't have to, that resisting, that suffering for righteousness' sake, resisting in faith, all that we've been redeemed from. And now is the time that God is going to come forth and vindicate all those who have truly sought him and who have truly loved him. Heavenly Father, we just praise you for the refining process that you've brought us through over these years. And Father, we just give you all glory and praise and honor for your perfection and on our behalf. And Father, we just proclaim that this is the year of vindication and that this is the year wherein we are stepping fully into the glorious will that you have for us, the glorious plan that you have for us, both individually and corporately. So again, we just give you all praise and honor and glory, Father, and we just thank you for these exciting days, and we long to see the fullness of your heart desire being met as far as this church coming to that holy and that spotless and unblemished state. So thank you, Father, for everything, and we give you all praise in Jesus' name. Amen.